Today's Veterans Radio program is dedicated to those veterans who've been laid to rest and those who remain to be found.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
And good morning, America. This is Veterans Radio, bringing a live program. That's right, live, no recorded here. Program, your military program, right to your radio. And with me is my partner, Dale Throneberry. Dale.
Good morning, America. How are you? It's great to be here, Bob. It's great to be anywhere.
And Nina?
Nina's on the phone right now
talking
to someone.
Yeah, she's our screener. By the way, if you have a call regarding our subject or have a question for our guests, etc., call us while on the air. That's right. 877, it's toll free. You don't have to pay for it. 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you. And speaking of hearing from you, Dale, what do you got for us?
Well, I got an email this week. You know, one of our favorite organizations here in the local area is the Yankee Air Museum, and they are trying to preserve part of one of the hangars from the old World War II Arsenal of Democracy that's being demoed, you know, for a new business plant. And so what they're trying to do is to save part of that assembly line that, where they built the B-24s. You know, back in the during World War II, they were churning out one aircraft a day. So they were building more B-24s.
No, I think it was every hour.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's an hour. Hold on, let me read this line. This one line I got from them, which was really cool. Anyway, they were building more aircraft in a day than they were building in Japan.
That's
all
it.
The different planes.
There we go.
And so we have the Arsenal of Democracy, and they're trying to save this assembly line. And you can participate if you go to the Veterans Radio site and click on Save Our Hangar. That's the logo that's on our website. And for $50, you can save 1 square foot of that assembly line, and that's what they're trying to do right now, and it's just a great opportunity for you to help preserve the history of our local area. And of course it's a history that needs to be preserved around the country, so maybe this isn't the only one that you're going to be looking for. So go to saveourhangar.org and make your donation right there. These guys are great. They sponsor the Thunder over Michigan every year, and by the way, the aircraft are going to be back this year.
Yeah, and I have seen that. I have seen that last section. You know, there's an interesting little story that Henry Ford, I mean, he always was looking to save a penny here and a penny there. At the last, what was it, eighth of a mile, I think it was?
I think it was the last quarter mile was supposed to go into Wayne County.
And he turned it specifically to avoid the extra property tax, huh?
Right, because Wayne County was going to tax them on building a bomber plant.
On building a bomb, that's right. So, you know, folks, those are just the little anecdotes that when you do go and see things like the Yankee Air Museum, you are a part of his. Boy, I have been in the Yankee Air Museum, and I have seen that last section of the bomber plant. It makes the hair in the back of your neck stand up because it's so historical. Maybe it's just the ghosts that are there. But you can imagine what the chaos, and here they were coming off. It wasn't every hour. It was like every 50 minutes they were bringing off. The pilots were actually running. There were like six or seven of them, and they would have to run. They would taxi the plane away, taxi wherever it was that they were going to store the darn thing, and then they'd have to run back because there was another one ready for them.
Right, and most of the pilots that were transporting those planes to various parts of the country were women. Remember, we did that program on that. Yes.
I know.
And
we should have a big for that
big
one.
Cheer for all of them. You know, what's interesting is that last quarter mile of the entire assembly line had a slight tilt to it so that the airplane could be pushed down the assembly line and it would roll out When it was finished, it would roll out onto the airfield, and they could take off with it right away.
I wonder what it was like. Maybe someday we can get somebody, one of the actual pilots, because what happens when you fired everything up and it didn't fire? You got another one coming right up your, you know what, it's coming right. You got 50 minutes to get the heck out of the way.
Well, I think it's a good idea, Bob. We've done a program on these women pilots, and in fact, there's a new book out there that talks about women pilots. And so we're going to have a program coming up in a couple of weeks all about them. They're amazing, amazing women.
Excellent. Okay, wow, we've got a jam-packed program today. We're going to be talking about Reese Across America. We're going to be talking about a film, MIA's being produced, called A Solemn Promise. And we may even get a special call from somebody within the VA to talk about a special Veterans Week that is coming up. Wow, you're going to want to stick to it. If you got any questions, you want to call us at 877-573-7825, 877-578-2-5. We'll be back right after this. Don't you go away.
You're listening to Veterans Radio live on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, Michigan, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, Florida, or listen online at AveMariaRadio.net.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
This is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, "We're proud of your son." And I'm proud to be on this peaceful property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Oh, yeah, boy. Whew. Boy, that always... Yes, I have to collect myself on that one. That's a beautiful... Mr. Trace Atkins, of course, his... recording of Arlington. And with me right now, sometimes from time to time, we like to have co-hosts, folks that come on and share some of the stories that they've researched and share with our listeners and, of course, Veterans Radio. Right now with me, my co-host today is Cheryl James. She's a freelance journalist, author, speaker. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Cheryl.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
What do you have for us?
Well, we have, first up here, is Karen Worcester. She's the executive director of Wreaths Across America. And as co-founder of Wreaths Across America, Karen works on ways the organization can best remember the fallen, honor those who serve, and teach our children that our freedoms are purchased at a great cost. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Karen.
Well, thank you so much. And I I will tell you that I'm doing a little collecting myself, listening to Trace Atkins singing, because I'm actually here on a very chilly morning at Arlington Cemetery this morning as a large group of volunteers, several thousand are here, to pick up the wreaths that we laid early in December to honor our veterans. And it's very moving to see all these people out here this morning to help us in this mission.
Oh, it must be quite a scene right now. I wish we could see that. Why don't you tell us? It's very moving. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Wreaths Across America. What's your mission, and how did you get started?
Well, Wreaths Across America is a 501c3 organization with the mission, as you said, to remember the fallen, honor those that serve, and most importantly, to teach our kids the cost of freedom. And I think what we've discovered in recent years is to even teach them what freedom is, so that they know how valuable it is. And we do this in part by placing wreaths on veterans' graves during the holiday season. It actually started in 1992 as a family project when the Worcester family, our family, were in the Christmas wreath business, and we had a surplus of wreaths one year. And my husband recalled a trip that he had won to Arlington as a paper boy when he was only 12. And it made a huge impression. And all those years later, in 1992, he had the wreaths. He got permission to donate and bring those wreaths to Arlington. And he loaded up the truck and brought a couple of our sons. And a handful of volunteers met him here at Arlington and took them all day to place 5,000 wreaths. But it made such an impression on him, and I'm very emotional being here. It's very, and recounting this, sorry, but it made such an impression on him and what he was able to teach our sons being here, that he just said, you know, we're always going to do this. And for many, many years, our family did that. At Christmas, we'd take the time, we'd make the wreaths, we'd bring them down and place them. And then in 2005. A Pentagon photographer caught a picture of those wreaths in the snow here at Arlington, and it went viral on the Internet. And just like that, we were inundated with thousands and thousands and thousands of emails and people who wanted to participate. So, you know, we tried to figure a way that we could, you know, have other people experience what we're doing. In 2006, formed what is called Wreaths Across America. Mm-hmm. And we now do over 900 cemeteries, so it's not just Arlington.
Okay. Let me jump in for a minute, if I could, Karen. You have something called Wreaths Across America Day, and that seems to be a focal point. What's the purpose of that event, and when does that take place?
It's usually the second Saturday in December. And like I said, it's in 900 locations. The ceremonies are actually held simultaneously around the 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Some finish at 12 and some begin. But it's just, the coming together of people all over the country to remember these heroes. And it's amazing. We have a volunteer force now of over 600,000 people. And the focus is on bringing kids to the cemetery, not to decorate graves, but to place a wreath to honor someone who died and to then research that character and get in touch with what their history is. Yeah. Make it personal.
How many wreaths were laid this year at all of these 900 places?
Over 520,000.
Wow. That's amazing.
And, we had so many volunteers at Arlington to put the wreaths down that we placed over 143,000 wreaths at Arlington, and it took us just under 2 hours to do
that. How many volunteers were there?
The estimate, and, you know, we never have a good system of knowing, but the estimate is around 25,000. And the thing is, what's important to know is that this is a year-round process. That our mission to remember, honor, teach is so important that we make a connection. We want our kids to know about the character of these people, so we use a lot of tools. We use the catalyst, of course, is the placing of the wreath, because it's such a personal thing for somebody to do, to place that wreath at the stone and read the name and, you know, really understand that here is buried somebody who, you know, paid a price for our freedom. But we try to use things like social media and education all year long. Kids have got to understand the character of what it is to be an American. It's not enough to remember. It really isn't. You have to teach them and indoctrinate our children what the character of an American is if we want this great country to continue.
Do you know the origin of placing wreaths on military or civilian graves at all? Do you know how that started?
You know, I don't. I've heard a lot of different things. I know that for this organization, it was just, a family that wanted to say thank you. And that's where we are as an organization. It's to honor and respect and to say thank you and to be here. You know, we work with the Gold Star families and a lot of veterans organizations, and these are their families. And holiday is when you include family. And again, I can't stress enough, the stories and character of the men and women and their families is what will keep us going forward strong as Americans. We need to make it personal.
How would you evaluate the media exposure and attention that you receive for these efforts?
This year we're just a fledgling group. You know, we're not very old as an organization, and this year we seem to have good support. We really did, and we had a little bit of a controversial thing earlier in the year, and the media likes that. And we actually had a perpetually lit Christmas tree in a little town called Bar Harbor, Maine, at a tourist community. And the perpetually lit tree we did with the members of the Battle of the Bulge, because 1944, the Battle of the Bulge was historically known as the Christmas they never had. And a past president of the Battle of the Bulge survivors, so Stanley Watusek, had challenged us to light a perpetually lit Christmas tree for that historic time. So it wasn't a religious thing. It was a historic depiction of the Christmas they never had, which
there can't be too many survivors at this point, do you know?
No, there aren't a lot. No, we're losing them rapidly. But this tree was a Christmas tree that was lit in the middle of this community, burned all year long, and it had a plaque that read, you know, we want to call attention to the fact that every freedom we have, there's someone that's been away from their family and made the sacrifice. No matter what their religion, no matter what their creed, they were paying a price of freedom so that we could have these freedoms that we have. And people would come through the community and see this tree lit all year long and talk to their children. It was very benign as far as how anybody could teach their children anything they want. We weren't telling them what to think. We were just telling them to think and to think about their freedoms. And then this year, we were asked to take the tree down, to remove the symbol because it was considered religious. And we fought the hard fight that, you know, no, this is about a period in history. These men fought for religious freedom, among other freedoms, but this was to honor those of the Battle of the Bulge and anybody who's away fighting on our behalf and separated from their families. But we had to remove when that happened, it did cause a little stir, and we got a lot of media attention about it. And we took that attention and used it as an opportunity to teach the kids about freedom. We wanted to not be a big controversy over religion, because that is not what it was. It was about freedom and those who fought for freedom. That got us a lot of attention that then helped us when that happened in October, and it helped us through the holiday season to get the attention, and we did get more media attention, and we added locations, and it was good for the cause.
Yeah.
But sometimes to get an opportunity to talk about the sacrifices and to talk about the families and what it means, you'll take what attention you can get and try to make it a positive.
Something good came out of something.
Experience.
Right, something good came out of something bad. What are your goals for next year for Wreaths Across America Day?
Well, this is a big year. You know, this is the 150th anniversary of Arlington National Cemetery. And, you know, we're always asked, well, why don't you cover every grave? And it's basically because we need the support to do it. Anybody can sponsor a wreath for $15 by going to wreathsacrossamerica.org. And we basically, we're looking for $250,000, roughly. You know, there's obviously a fluid number here at Arlington, and hoping to do that. We were only about, you know, 80, 85,000 short this year, so we're hoping to do that for the coming year.
Okay.
As well as expand to other areas. If anybody's interested in bringing Reeves Across America to their own community, we don't just do national and state veteran cemeteries. We will do small cemeteries because wherever a veteran is laid to rest, everyone is equally important, yeah. And they're also a part of our history, yeah. And how it ties together. Wow. It's fascinating. Every time I come here, I'm just fascinated. As you know, you walk and read these stones, the whole history of our country is here, you know.
Yes.
It's so moving, and what so many people don't know that you can find out here. And watching, I'm actually sitting in the car because it's so cold, but looking out the window and I can see these families, you know, 10, 12-year-old kids, and they don't just pick up the wreaths. They stop and talk and point things out. You can't help but notice these things, mm-hmm. And
wow,
it becomes
beautiful.
A part of you. It's an important mission. Yeah. You know, we have to get back to roots. We have to know what we stand for as Americans, and we need to stand proudly for what we stand for and not apologize.
Okay. Do you participate in any other activities beside the wreath lane to honor veterans year-round at all?
Well, we believe it or not, we depend very highly on the trucking industry. All of our wreaths that are delivered to 900 locations go in the back of volunteered trucks. And these trucks now are wrapped with the message, remember, on a teach. And during the year, they'll participate in, you know, 4th of July parades and always just extending the mission. We have downloadable curriculum on our website, and we're always working to establish programs with the kids. We do a lot of things with Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, VFWs, American Legions. And by the way, if you have an organization like that and you're looking to raise funds for your organization, you can do that with Wreaths Across America. Our program is set up so that a portion of the funds we collect go back for other organizations. And many VFWs, American Legions, use our program to raise funds to help living veterans and put that back in the community.
Wow.
If you visit wreathsacrossamerica.org, you can see all that information on there. And, you know, we're always open to ideas as well. Education is key.
Sounds like for a relatively young organization, you're pretty organized and have a lot to offer. What is said or done as these wreaths are being placed on the graves?
When the wreaths are placed on the graves, we have a meeting ahead of time, and we always direct people that it's you lay the wreath and you be respectful. You read the name, and in many instances, we ask them, you know, if you'd like, write the name down and then do some research. And interestingly enough, this year, we don't normally do grave-specific because it's so difficult to do, but there'll be a lot of cases where someone will write to me or to my, you know, the boss here, the chairman of the board, and say, could you please place a wreath because I can't get there. Well, we had about 300 special requests just for Arlington. And, you know, we have just two or three people that go out and do those. So we put on our Facebook pages that we weren't going to be able to do anymore. And all of a sudden, the community out there just, it came alive. And someone would say, I'm going to be at Arlington. Do you want a wreath put on your loved one's grave? And they'd come on and tell about their loved one and post a picture. Those people made a connection. Then it became so personal because they would go and find this grave, and then they would talk to the family about who the individual was. It exploded. It didn't happen just in Arlington. It was all over the country. I'm going to be, you know, at Sarasota National, and could you be there and do this for me? And watching people interact and start to get to know each other and start to get to know these people that are part of their history from across the country, it was amazing. It was the epitome of what we're trying to teach.
That is extraordinary. Well, your headquarters are in Maine, and you've already mentioned your website, but can you say again how people would access your website and what they might find on that website?
It's wreathsacrossamerica.org, and there's everything from the history to how you can get involved, how you can bring Wreaths Across America to your community, and even things that you can do to start to teach children. We even have a children's book, so you can start to teach children at a very young age, you know, what it means, how important it is to be proud of their heritage.
What's the title of the children? What's the title?
It's Daisy Dog and the Parade of Purpose. And it talks about, we actually, in 2006, when things kind of exploded, we, instead of just throwing the wreaths on the truck and driving right straight through to Arlington, we started getting requests to stop in communities and schools and all of that on the way down. So we now take a full week to deliver the wreaths from Maine to Arlington. And so we stopped at schools with that message. And so this little book was kind of written about that, about the parade of purpose and how we call ourselves the world's longest veterans parade. And by the way, when we left Maine last year to head for Arlington, our parade was 4 miles long.
Oh, my. And now say the name of that book again is Daisy Dog Parade of Purpose. Was that it?
Yep. And you can find that on the website.
That's fantastic.
And you can also read about how our parade now is a mission in itself, that we reach so many students that way. We stop at schools and talk, and they participate. And we encourage the kids to go out into their local cemetery, write down the names of the veterans, and write down veterans' names, and then research their local communities and, you know, find out about the history in their own community. And it's just such a catalyst to get people in touch with their local history and then see how that relates nationally and ties us all together. It's exciting. It really is.
It's incredible. Well, we can't thank you enough for this project, all these wonderful projects you're doing. We hope we can have you on the program again. So thank you so much for coming on to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. And we'll go back to Bob.
Yeah. Boy, that was exciting. That was really great to talk with Karen. I didn't have a chance to speak with her prior to. I was talking to her agents, who were very, very effective and got all this information. Dale, what do you think about that? Is there something there that you want to comment?
No, only that I'm so excited about the idea of it spreading across America. And I apologize for trying to talk to someone else right now. But, you know, is this going to be not only at Christmas time, or are they trying to do something earlier in the year? Is that right?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. She was talking about that. But wow, that was so exciting. You know, and these are the kind of things that we get from our listeners. I heard about this from a listener. Absolutely. Somebody gave me and sent me this little article. I mean, we're talking a tiny little article, and that's what gets things started here at Veterans Radio. We depend. This is your program. This is your program. So all you veterans, non-veterans out there, you got something that interests you, that really has your passion, you want to get a hold of us. How do they get a hold of us, Dale?
Dale at veteransradio.net, Bob at veteransradio.net. Go to our website, veteransradio.net. Click on Contact Us. Also, we have that iconic picture that she was talking about of Arlington with all the wreaths on our website. That's the thing that got my attention a couple of years ago when I first saw that. I just think this is so fascinating. What a way to be involved just for one day of the year. All you've got to do is go to your local cemetery and put a wreath on a veteran's grave. Right now they put flags out there. Why not put a wreath on there? What a great concept I think this is.
Yeah. And talk about something worthy of media attention. I can see a major television program on an Arlington wreath ceremony, all of these thousands of wreaths being laid on on graves. Boy, that's great television. Someone ought to pick that up.
I think they will. Hint, hint, hint. Anybody out there listening? We know who's listening right now. Well, we'll be right back with our next guest. Mr. Richard Jellison is going to be talking about a film he's making about the MIAs. Don't go away right after this very important message.
You're listening to Veterans Radio Live from our flagship station, WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, Michigan, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, Florida, or listen online at AveMariaRadio.net.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
We're back here on Veterans Radio. We've got quite a lineup. We still got a couple more guests that are going to be on our program. And right now, I'm going to throw it right back to you, Cheryl.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. Okay, our next guest is an incredibly dynamic gentleman. Richard Jellison is a former combat helicopter pilot, and he's the owner and producer for Storyteller Original Films. And welcome to Veterans Radio, Richard.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
How are you doing today?
I am just doing fine. Very excited. Appreciate your interest in our film.
Well, speaking of that, why don't you tell us about the film? It is called A Solemn Promise, America's Missing in Action. Tell us about this film.
At this point, we have a 10-minute trailer on my website. And I produced the trailer almost a year ago now. And it concerns itself mostly with the families that were left behind. Certainly we will be, in the larger film, we'll be talking about the missions that the MIAs, their last mission, and the search, performed by JPAC and DPMO. But really what we'd like to do is to talk to families about their loss and the fact that after sometimes as many as 60, 65 years, they still have no closure. That's really what the film is about. These people were just told their son, their father, uncle, daughter was not coming home from combat, and they were not usually offered any other explanation. So they've been waiting all this time.
That's tragic. Now, you mentioned a couple of acronyms there, Richard. Could you tell us what those stand for?
DPMO is Defense Prisoner of War Missing Personnel Office in Washington, D.C., and JPAC is the Joint Prisoner of War Missing in Action Accounting Command in Hawaii. And these two agencies together do the accounting, do the searches, actually do the physical searches going through our old battlefields looking for our missing in action.
Oh. Well, let's start with some numbers you had mentioned. How many MIAs have there been just since World War II?
Since World War II, right now, DPMO says there are 83,309 MIAs altogether. 73,000 of those are from World War II. So,
oh, my goodness. And, well, this may seem like an obvious fact, but are all MIAs presumed no longer alive, correct?
That is correct at a certain point. I believe the government, after 7 years of missing in action, body not recovered, they declare them for the purposes of taking care of the family. They do declare them KIA, but they are listed as MIA until they can recover the bodies.
So, must be pretty agonizing 7 years there for the families.
I would think so, yes.
Why have you dedicated yourself to producing this film?
Well, I have other projects as a filmmaker, but this one, it started with The Solemn Promise, which was made to me. As a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, they said, we will not leave you behind. And I got out of the Army after that, went into advertising, and was doing a film for the History Channel on helicopter warfare in Vietnam. Met a gentleman named Tom Lasser who ran Los Alamitos Air Base in Southern California. And we became friends. I actually interviewed him in that film. But he's the one that made me aware that that promise that they made you was still in effect. Yes. I had gone out on a mission in Vietnam and was shot down, lost in the jungle. They would still be looking for me. I, like most Americans, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't realize these searches never stopped. And it was such a powerful promise, such a powerful program, that I decided to do a film about it. So we did that. That's what the 10-minute trailer is.
Wow. You mentioned the process. Could you describe, you know, you're talking about the searches. Could you describe the process beginning with the searches for these MIAs and then on with the recovery and the identification. It's quite a procedure from the sounds of it.
Yes, it is. The process of discovery basically happens because they go through after-action reports to try and find out why a certain plane didn't come back from a mission or a Navy ship didn't come back from a mission. And then they'll try and locate where there was possibly wreckage and send people out to those areas. Even in up until 2005, they would send them into North Korea for old battlefields there. And when they find them, they send forensic scientists in and searchers, and they go through anything around the wreck to find bones, to find anything they can that will identify the people in the wreck. Then they take it to the laboratories in Hawaii where they have state-of-the-art DNA research. And when they are absolutely positive that they have identified the missing service person, they notify the families. Very, very careful that they are absolutely positive before they notify the families for obvious reasons.
Yeah, if I may interject, do you know how often they can't do that?
I do not have a number for that. I do know that there are about 1,000 cases backlogged right now, which may be because we don't have enough people to identify. It's a lengthy process, going through DNA, dental records, and such, to identify these remains. It's very time-consuming and tedious. So there is about 1,000 that I believe that are backlogged. But for the most part, when they find one or two sets of remains, they get on that because they probably know where exactly where they went down, where their airplane went down, or the boat went down. So.
Have you observed any of this process, Richard?
No, only on film. I haven't made it to JPAC to witness that process. We did put a clip of what they do into the trailer on the website. Because it's an incredible undertaking.
Yeah.
It truly is.
And before we get on to the description of the burials and very powerful descriptions and the families, you mentioned they stopped in North Korea in 2005. Is there a reason for that?
I believe the government, who used to allow us in there to search, I believe it was a change on the part of the North Korean government.
Okay.
It's always been amazing to me that old enemies have let our JPAC teams in to do searches. But I'm not sure what happened in 2005, but that, according to what I have, that's when they started not loudness.
Yeah, it sounds like the North Korea we know, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, now, the bodies are recovered, they're ID'd, then what happens?
At that point, JPAC notifies family members if they can find them. The interesting thing is that even if there are no family members left, our government has a full-on military honor guard burial for these soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines finally coming to rest in our country. And that means they have the caisson, the horse-drawn caisson, they have marching bands, they have the 21-gun salute. It's a full-on military burial ceremony, and if there's nobody there, it's just the military. If there's no family left.
Yeah. Have you observed one of those, Richard?
Yes, I have, and one of the reasons why we are pushed to get this film into a long form, into hopefully 90 minutes, is to tell this story so Americans are more aware of these MIAs coming back to our country. As it happens, and I use this film in my trailer at the very end, it is the honor guard handing a flag to what looks like a very young woman, and she is all by herself in this cemetery, which just it breaks your heart to see that the chairs around her are empty, and it just doesn't seem right. We have a gentleman on my advisory board, Bill Fortier, who has made it his mission not only to help us find funding for this film, but to send out press releases every time an MIA is brought back for internment, and he gets to the local press, and he's already made a great deal of progress in helping people be aware of these of these burials, so people can attend.
Too easy to forget. You mentioned too the about 73,000 of these of the 83,000 are World War II vets. That's it's surprising actually to me, but. That must mean there's an awful lot of these burials at this point in time where there are no families present.
Very much the case. Also, on the issue of World War II, there is a Senator McCaskill who has put together a mandate for the Secretary of Defense to take DPMO's accounting, not just financial accounting, but the accounting of the numbers missing, because... there are people that are waiting for closure, waiting to hear that their loved ones' remains have been found.
Yeah.
When, in fact, the government already knows we can't find them. They were lost at sea. They're thousands of feet down, and there is no search. Those people need to be told, and that's what McCaskill's mandate is about, letting people know that we're not. There is no likelihood that we will find those people. As a matter of fact, there is no search. There's about 30 or 35%, I believe, of the World War II MIAs fall into that category.
My goodness. That's incredible statistics related to all of this. Can you talk a little more about the content of your film? Now, the trailer is very powerful. Anyone should will mention again how people can see that at the end of the program here. But what else are you expecting to, you know, to include in the content of the film? You hope it will be a 90-minute film, correct?
We're going to do 90 minutes, possibly just 60. But the fact of the matter is, we do want to do this documentary about this subject differently. We're going to have computer-generated maps showing where the airplanes went down or where the battle took place, and go into a little bit of the horror, I guess you'd say, of these MIA's last few minutes as much as we can. We have, possibly we're going to be using anime to actually go into the cockpit of a bomber or fighter to show what took place there when they were shot down. The reason that we're doing that is that this film is, my goal is to make this film accessible to a younger audience so that high school kids, college kids could watch it, get enthralled in it, get to the story, and help us along the way with the next generation of finding our MIAs. I'd like it to be something that was more in the public consciousness.
Yeah, I have a daughter, actually, who's a Navy veteran, and she says that generation is concerned that because only 1% of their generation has served, they fear that that people will just completely forget all of this, and certainly this project would help. You know, Richard, you've got at least three other films that I saw on your website. They all look pretty powerful. How does this film compare? First of all, you can tell our audience the other two or three films, but and how this might compare to the others.
How it might compare. Two of the films that are on the website are concerned the military. One was the helicopter warfare in Vietnam for the History Channel. There is one there on the history of Army aviation for the Army Aviation's Museum at Fort Rucker. And then there is a film that I did on the exploration of crack cocaine addiction.
Yeah, that seemed interesting.
It was interesting to do as well. I actually produced that with the help of the Crips gang in Phoenix.
No kidding. Wow. That's amazing. Powerful films.
Interesting couple of weeks of shooting, I'll tell you that, from 11 at night till 4 in the morning.
Oh.
That's
kind of a combat in itself, isn't it?
It kind of was, yes. Actually, it was. The gentleman that ran the Crips, the Crips lieutenant, shook my hand first night and said, "Nothing's going to happen to you." that was comforting, and I think what he meant was this is all under his control, and he had security service, armed guards, and everything for the shoot, if you pardon the expression. That was fascinating. There's more films, but those four I put up there just to illustrate the balance of what we can do as filmmakers.
Well,
the trailer is put up there. I actually funded the trailer myself, called in a lot of favors in the industry. And at this point now we're looking for funding to see how we can make it a long-form 90-minute, 60 to 90-minute film.
Right. I wanted you to talk a little bit about your efforts. You have a nonprofit you're developing and the efforts that that you're making so that people can donate.
That's correct. Actually, yesterday we met with the California Military Museum in Sacramento, which is a 501c3, and the board seemed very much in favor, voted to see if we can work this out, so they would be our 501c3. The purpose of that is that a corporation or an individual could donate to the film through that 501c3 and get a tax deduction, and the museum would make a percentage and then give the rest to the budget to Storyteller Original Films to do the films.
Okay.
So it's kind of win-win for everybody involved. It is in its early stages, but it certainly looked good after the meeting yesterday.
Dale has a question for you, Richard. Let me toss it over to him for a minute.
Okay, Richard, first of all, my name is Dale Thronberry, and I was a Wally Warrant helicopter pilot in Vietnam myself. And I wanted to say welcome home to you. You've done a great job with these documentaries.
Thank you. Thank you. And welcome home to you, Dale.
Thank you. I wanted to also remind our audience that we did a program, I think it was a couple of years ago, on the Bent Prop Project. And
yes.
That was to find World War II aircraft that had been downed out in the Pacific, and they're also looking for the remains. And we've done a couple of programs on, you know, finding the remains. This sounds like another great opportunity for us to get the word out and spread the word about what you're doing, and also what America is doing to bring everyone home. And I was interested in what you said earlier on about never leave anybody behind, and that was certainly drilled into all of us while we were in country there, and still going on today. You know, we always say we had your back then, we've got your back now, and we're going to take care of you. But I just wanted to thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
It's good to get the word out. Actually, Ben Prop is, we would probably be talking to them at some point when I have the budget in place. And also, Reads Across America, I think that what they are doing could be towards the end of the film, as I see it.
Can you imagine the power of that?
Yeah, it's a fascinating visual if you understand that these are our veterans, and America is not forgetting. So Reefs Across America, I think, would be a nice visual for that film.
That's fantastic. So Richard, why don't you remind our audience where they can find your website real quickly here? And thank
it
you.
It is, you bet, storytellerfilms.tv. Storytellerfilms is one single word, plural. And .tv, as if .television, but it's storytellerfilms.tv. The treatment for the long-form film is there. The trailer for A Solemn Promise is there. My advisory board, very esteemed bunch of people that are trying to help me with this. Yeah. All of it is on there, and as well as contact information to see how someone might be interested to help us.
Okay, storytellerfilms.tv. Fantastic. Thank you again for your service to our country, Richard, and thank you for being on Veterans Radio. We'll
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll send it back to Bob.
Oh, boy, the time's just really rolling here. We've only got a few minutes, and we have waiting on the line Mr. Robert McDivitt, the director of the Ann Arbor VA. We're going to want to talk about that, and they're winning the Plane Tree Silver Merit Award. We'll be right back right after this very, very, very important message.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio, and our third guest, and he's going to be the anchor guy, is right now is Mr. Robert McDivitt, a U.S. Army veteran. He's the director of the Ann Arbor VA, and they just won an award, the VA in Ann Arbor. You know, and we've been every now and then we hear, hey, the care is really bad. Well, somebody actually wrote something and put that in the Detroit Free Press. I gave a copy of that to Mr. McDivitt. I know he's going to want to comment on that, and it certainly has a lot to do with winning the Plane Tree Silver Merit Award Robert McDivitt, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, Bob. It's my pleasure to join you again.
Tell us all about VISN, the Plane Tree Award, and all that, and answer some. And by the way, they're not a lot of critics, but you have to answer that. What about the care, and what about everything that's coming up over at the Ann Arbor VA?
Sure. On the 16th of January of this year, and we were very pleased to have you and Veterans Radio present. We were recognized by an organization called Plane Tree International, and Plane Tree is an organization that is based on transforming healthcare into an organization that's built around patients. And, of course, our patients in our system are veterans. And for the last several years, we've worked with Plane Tree to create a veteran-centered organization, and we hope you see that when you come to the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system, from our greeters who greet basically everyone who comes into the building, to the veteran-centered art you see throughout the facility reinforcing our mission, to baking chocolate chip cookies in the lobby, to offering Tai Chi and other alternative therapies, to having harp players and others, and the great, really, veteran-centered staff that we have in our organization. And we were very pleased to actually be the not only the first VA, but the first healthcare organization in North America to receive Plane Tree Silver recognition. We also are fully aware that this is just a step in a long journey to become a fully veteran-centered organization. But thank you for joining us, and we think it's a privilege every day to serve veterans in our healthcare system.
You know, often we get emails and we get calls, and I don't know how to get my care. What do I do? What do they do? What's the first step?
Sure. The first step is to call us. You can contact the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System at 1-800-361-8387. That's 1-800-361-8387. Or at our website, which is www.annarbor.va.gov. And ask through the eligibility office. And again, we encourage every veteran to enroll for VA care. You don't know if you're eligible or not until you go through the process. And our mission is to honor America's veterans by providing exceptional health care, which helps you to improve your health and well-being. And we certainly saw that through the Plane Tree recognition. We had a lot of testimonials from veterans and veterans groups. One that was particularly poignant was a group from our Toledo community-based outpatient clinic that is working together on a series of exercises that will help slow the progression of Parkinsonism with them. And we had a veteran who hadn't been able to stand up 7 weeks ago, and on the video connected to us, he talked about the exercises he was doing, how he had committed himself to that, working in partnership with the VA therapy team, and at the end he stood up, and really there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And again, that reinforces why we show up for work every day, Bob.
Now, I know that you make veterans first, and I did give you that article. And here's this person was saying that the care is of a lower level. I mean, we all know what all that's about. However, can you respond a little bit more to that? What have you observed with the employee population that are there serving veterans right there at your VA?
Sure. At our healthcare system, we have a very strong affiliation with the University of Michigan School of Medicine, one of the best medical schools in the country. All our faculty at Ann Arbor also have faculty appointments at the university, so you're really getting the best doctors in the country when you come to us. We not only say that ourselves, but we invite lots of outside entities to come and assess the quality of our health care, whether it be an organization like Plane Tree, the Joint Commission, which is really the gold standard for quality of care in health care. We have an inspector general in the VA that comes and assesses our services at all times and gives us feedback on how to improve. And in general, they tell us that we're doing very well, and they also point out opportunities, and we work on those opportunities all along. I've worked for VA for over 30 years. I believe we provide the finest quality health care to veterans. I believe we provide the most comprehensive and veteran-centered care that a veteran can experience in this country. And, again, we invite any veteran to come into our health care system and allow us to partner with him or her to promote their health and wellness.
We had a phone call from a listener, Mike Panich. Mike, you have a question for Rob McDivitt. Go ahead.
Rob, I On the Veterans Radio program a couple of months ago, they mentioned something about there was going to be a change or something new in the dental program. And I've tried calling out to the VA in Ann Arbor and Detroit to get some information, but nobody seems to have any. I was just wondering if you could expound on that.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for asking that question. Around the first of the year, VA came out with a program. It's called the VA Dental Insurance Program, and the acronym for that is VDIP, V-A-D-I-P. If you go on our website, there's information on VADIP, or you call the Ann Arbor Healthcare System. This is a partnership between VA and a couple of private insurance companies that will offer group rate insurance to veterans, dental insurance to veterans who are currently not eligible for dental care at the VA. And the premiums, and again, it depends on the policy you purchase, but they're as low as less than $10 a month for dental coverage. And again, give us a call or check on our website, but it is VADIP, the VA Dental Insurance Program, a private and public partnership to enhance dental coverage for veterans.
Mike, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much, and great show.
Thank you. Back to Rob McNivitt. Rob, okay. I know. I saw something that was pet therapy. Why don't you take about a minute and talk pet therapy. What is that?
Again, the Plane Tree experience is about transforming hospital care from in many cases, an unpleasant or even horrible experience into a warm, healing environment. And part of being a warm, healing environment for many of us is having pets. And the VA and our healthcare system, we have a series of pets that have gone through a special training program. They're certified by our voluntary service. And they come and visit with veterans. And you can see if you go into the room in our community, one of the rooms in our community living center or on our inpatient units, when the therapy dog comes in the room and the veteran has a chance to pet the dog and interact with a wonderful pet, that in many cases is as important as the great surgeries and other therapies that we do. And we were very pleased last year, Annie, one of the VA the therapy dogs that comes to Ann Arbor VA, was actually selected as the National Therapy Pet of the Year by the Plane Tree Organization and was recognized at their national meeting.
Rob, we have exactly 1 minute. Tell us about Veterans Week that's coming up. What are the dates and what do you got planned?
February 9th to 15th is the annual National Salute to Veterans Week. It's a chance for everybody to come out to the VA and to interact with veterans and to thank veterans for their service. If you are interested in volunteering with us, and during that course of the week, we'll have sports teams and celebrities and politicians from across the state. Here in Michigan, we've had the governor and our U.S. Senator, Carl Levin, Representatives Wahlberg and Dingell in the past, football teams, baseball teams from Eastern Michigan, University of Michigan. If you are interested in joining us and recognizing veterans that week or really any time during the year, but this is a little special week, please call the VA Voluntary Service Office at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and the number is 734-845-3467.
Rob McNivitt. Well, go ahead. Shoot.
I'm just going to repeat the number, 734-845-3467.
Well, once again, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, and please come back again. You have a blessed day.
Will do. You too, Bob.
Wow. Boy. How about that? There's our theme coming up. Dale, you got next week real quick.
I do. We're going to have one of the first female generals in the United States Army, Becky Halstead. She's going to be talking about a book that she calls The First Person You Must Lead Is You.
Cheryl, thank you very much for being on our program.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Until next week, all of you out there at Veterans Radio, our audience, you're dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.